Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So let's go beyond the Lower Manhattan Islamic Cultural Center issue to a larger question. Is America Islamophobic? Maybe you saw that question as the cover headline of Time magazine this week. It's staring right at you as you walk past newsstands. Subhead, what the anti-mosque uproar tells us about how the U.S. regards Muslims. On our show last week, we talked about how this is not just an issue in Lower Manhattan. Mosques all over the country are coming under scrutiny, opposition to developing them almost wherever they seem to be planned. So what does that really tell us? On our show last week, Peter Gadiel, a conservative 9/11 families leader, made a case that sounded more sweeping than concerns about hurt feeling of survivors.
The fact is that most of the terrorist acts of the last 40 years have been committed by Muslims. Whether they're extremist or not, there's been little response from the so-called moderate Muslim community to fight this aspect of their religion. This goes far, far beyond this particular thing. I mean, after all, Islam has a history of conquering other religions and other civilizations and then destroying their monuments and placing their own monuments on top.
So invoking that history or that version of history was seen as a reason to deny these individuals the right to build on their own property. This from our own comments page. A listener wrote, Bloomberg would never permit a Ku Klux Klan center at Ground Zero to indoctrinate American children and spread its influence, yet he seems very willing to permit the abhorrent Sharia ideology on hallowed American soil. So let's talk about it. We will talk in a few minutes to Bobby Ghosh, the Time magazine reporter who wrote that cover story, Is America Islamophobic? We open up the phones for anybody on any side of this. We definitely want Muslims to call in. We'll save at least some of our lines for Muslims. Do you feel that Islamophobia is on the rise in the United States right now? Do you feel something happening again right now, perhaps in a way that you experienced just after 9/11 because of this Lower Manhattan issue? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. With us first is WNYC's own Arun Venugopal, who covered the protests yesterday in Lower Manhattan near the scene of the proposed cultural center, including a prayer space at 51 Park Place. Hi, Arun.
Hi, Brian.
Set the scene. What was it like? It was a horrible day. It was pouring rain on and off.
Yeah.
How many people and who showed up for this?
Well, first, before anything else started, you had this motorcycle sort of cavalcade, these people who come from all over the country. They do this annual memorial ride to Ground Zero. And the protesters, the people organizing the protest that followed this event, they used that as sort of the reason that they could hold their protest. They figured a lot of these people would come there. Symbolically, it would be nice to have all these guys coming on motorcycles. Many of those people who actually attended the memorial ride did not necessarily participate in the protests that followed. But when you speak to them, a lot of them actually did feel opposed to Park 51. But anyways, you had this scene of all these hundreds of men, mostly some women as well, coming in. Couple hours later, you had the rain coming down. It wasn't clear how many people were actually going to stay around. And a lot of these motorcyclists, like I said, they left because of the rain. But then eventually, yeah, you had about 500-600 perhaps people who were there protesting against Park 51. A lot of these bikers, a lot of tattoos and bandanas and red, white, and blue in the air. They're waving these signs with the word Sharia and this kind of big, drippy red letters. So it was a pretty intense scene.
And on the other side, I heard the estimate of about 200 people supporting the location.
Yeah, it was just a couple blocks away, and they were sort of separated by these cops, I guess, who were pretty vigilant, making sure that you didn't have too many people sort of sneaking into each other's camps, although that did happen now and then. That scene was definitely, you know, it was 200, 250 at most, according to one cop I spoke to. But it was not quite as organized. They had put it together in the last few days. They didn't have a sound system like the opponents did, mostly sort of anti-war types, socialists, a smattering of other people who just kind of came, some Muslims as well.
Just a smattering of Muslims, but mostly more politically left
Definitely.
White people?
Definitely, definitely. It was organized by groups like the International Socialist Organization, some Palestinian groups as well, but not really a religious sort of showing.
So here's my bottom line question for you for this segment's purposes. Did you hear a predominance of expressions of anti-Muslim sentiment, not just don't put it here because it's too close to ground zero because of the hurt feelings, even if you in particular who are building this center are not sympathizers with Osama bin Laden, it's just too close, it hurts too many people, that kind of thing. Did you hear what you would call Islamophobia?
I think you certainly do get the people who are very clear about, you know, Muslims, we welcome them. They can, they're definitely, we want to coexist with them in this country. But that's definitely only one of the arguments that are made. A lot of them, there's a lot of anti-Islamic statements that are made, anti-Quranic, you know, people holding up that sign saying Sharia. It's a very sort of kind of a virulent sort of image that that they're making there. They keep on touting these statements building mosques that they, as in the Muslims, are building mosques to celebrate their conquest over their enemies. That's, there are all these statements they make that they have sort of selectively taken ideas out of Islam and certain surah statements from the Quran that they use to sort of, I guess, to argue against the building of this mosque and many other mosques across America.
WNYC's Arun Venugopal at those protests, pro and con, yesterday. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
And on ABC this week, listen to this clip that they played yesterday of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and then the brief exchange that followed with Manhattan Jewish Community Center Director Joy Levitt and the director of the Hope for Downtown Islamic Center, Daisy Kong. Gingrich's voice is first.
Nazis don't have the right to put up a sign next to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. We would never accept the Japanese putting up a site next to Pearl Harbor.
Right.
There's no reason for us to accept a mosque next to the World Trade Center.
Let me ask you directly, because he did bring up Nazi imagery there. What do you make of that?
Well, that's terrible imagery. But I think Mr. Gingrich has never been to the JCC, and he's never seen, you know, moms taking their babies to our swimming pool. He's never seen teenagers making sandwiches for homeless shelters. He's never seen husbands coming to grieve for their spouses in a bereavement group. That's what goes on in JCCs.
And that's what you plan for the Islamic Center?
Exactly. And he also has never been to Tribeca, to our mosque, which has been there for 27 years, only 12 blocks from Ground Zero. We've been neighbors, and we've been good neighbors. And as neighbors, we feel we want to rebuild our city and our neighborhood.
That from ABC This Week yesterday. And now let's talk to Bobby Ghosh from Time Magazine. He wrote the cover story with the headline, Is America Islamophobic? What the Anti-Mosque Uproar Tells Us About How the U.S. Regards Muslims. Hi, Bobby. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
First of all, people are entitled to opinions, and it's sometimes too easy to accuse others of bias. Why did you raise this question this way, and why did Time make it the cover story?
Well, the reason we raised it is because of protests over one mosque or one Islamic cultural center in downtown Manhattan, but a pattern that seems to be emerging. There are protests like that against proposed mosque projects all over the country. Most of these other mosque projects are in uncontroversial neighborhoods, shall we say. They're not in any way connected to terrorist attacks. Some of them are the one we write about the most in our stories, and is out in farm country in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
So let's take that one for a second.
Yeah.
Out in farm country in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, they're not arguing that it's too close to ground zero, so they should just recognize the hurt. What are they arguing in opposition to the mosque?
Well, they're arguing that Islam is a religion of terror, and that Muslims are potentially terrorists. We open our story with a scene from the Town Planning Commission and we have people, townspeople, who are complaining that the Muslims would make Muslims are anti-American. Essentially, there's one woman who says there are 20 jihadist camps hidden in rural country all over America and training a new generation of terrorists. I mean, this is the sort of conspiracy theory nonsense that has crept out from the extreme fringes and into the mainstream in this country.
But if there's a proposal to build a mosque, then there already must be Muslims living in Sheboygan.
There are at least 100 families. Most of these are from Bosnia and Albania. They're European Muslims. Some of them, many of them, fled the horrible persecution that they suffered at the hands of Serbians. And perhaps as a reason for that, many of them choose not to advertise the fact that they are Muslims because they fear persecution in this country as well.
So where does the public, in that case and some of the other ones that you reported on around the country, take it? If they're just discovering that there's a Muslim population in their midst and they don't want to build, want them to be able to build a house of worship, then are they saying get out of town, or do they not take it to that logical conclusion?
Well, they haven't taken it to that level as yet. There is a lot of hate speech, and it's getting progressively angrier and more vicious. And the cautionary tale, the lessons we learn from other countries where Islamophobia is far more deeply entrenched in places like Europe, is that the leap from hate speech to violence can happen suddenly and without warning, and if we're not careful. That's the direction we're heading to. I mean, people opposing a mosque is one thing. People bringing dogs to Friday prayers to show their contempt for the other person's religion is something else. That speaks to a much greater degree of hostility and bigotry than simply a discussion over location.
Do you write about Newt Gingrich in your article? I didn't read every word of your piece, and he seems to be out there more than Sarah Palin, more than some of the local politicians even who are trying to use the Ground Zero location for political purposes in really making these outrageous statements, like that it's as if Nazis were building next to Auschwitz or something like that, equating Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf with a Nazi. It's not Osama bin Laden building next to Ground Zero. It's this particular group of Sufis.
And they're New Yorkers too.
And from the neighborhood, and we've been through that on the show, you know. But Gingrich has been very out there saying Islam is this and Muslims tend to that. Do you write about this? Does he have a unique place in this debate?
Well, he's gotten a lot of ink over it. We certainly reference him. He, more than anybody else, has brought this kind of vitriolic speech into the mainstream. He and people like Franklin Graham. But the imagery that he has invoked is very particular, is very cynical, and of course, as you point out, it's terribly, terribly wrong. But he's gotten plenty of attention. As I said, our story is meant to examine the larger nationwide trend, not simply the case of one mosque in New York,
yes.
which seems to have, you know, he seems to be narrowing his attention to the lower Manhattan. Our story is supposed to be more nationwide.
So, listeners, is Islamophobia on the rise in the United States? Ahmed in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Is it, in your experience?
Yes, good morning, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to 100% say I believe that it is. I've been Muslim all my life. I was born Muslim, but I'm also American. And I just think that you see these portrayals in the media. You see newscasts of always equating, you know, Islam with terrorism. And then you have people, you know, every chance they get on TV having something negative to say. And I think a lot of it comes from a lack of understanding and fear. But I think Muslims are put in situations that other religious groups are not. And, you know, for whatever reason, there's never anything good to say.
Thank you for your call. Patty in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Patty, thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I'm really amazed at this one-sided account you're Time reporter is giving. This is the reason why, news magazines are shrinking and dying. Can your reporter please address the fact that in 1962, the Muslim Student Association, funded by Saudi Arabia, opened in Bloomington, Indiana, and ever since has been propagating, proselytizing throughout this country and, for that matter, Europe. This is not just like this year this happened and there's...
So, Patty, do you know that many Christian groups go overseas and proselytize?
Absolutely I do. But the only difference is, Brian, I'm Jewish, so I have respect for both religions, and my religion does not proselytize. And I believe the Christian religion, can proselytize or does proselytize, but not to the extent that if you're an infidel and you are, killed if you do not convert.
But wait, did this group of students in Bloomington, Indiana, kill anybody?
It was not a group of students. It was a group of Saudi, very, very rich businessmen. If you read the book written by a Muslim intellectual...
But stay with me. Did they kill anybody in Indiana, and should they therefore not be able...
Yes, they have. And as a matter of fact, I would like the reporter to address the fact that in Naperville, Illinois, right outside Chicago, there is a mosque right now that the community is fighting, that is tied to Alavi, which is Iranian Saudi money, that there's no question, there's no debate. The judge has, determined that that is so. And yet the Muslim community still fights on. They still fight on because they have a purpose in mind.
And you're saying the Muslim community has a purpose in mind to kill all the non-Muslims?
Not kill, proselytize. Wahhabism is a sect of Islam which is funded by the Saudi Arabia.
And therefore, because they... See, this is what we're dealing with, Patty. Because they intend to proselytize, you think they shouldn't be allowed to have a house of worship?
Well, by proselytize, Brian, right now in London, there are 67 Sharia courts operating, okay? So it's not just a
courts
religion.
Organized by Muslims for trials of Muslims pertaining to Muslim law.
It's a political system. It's a worldview. And
therefore, they don't have the right to have mosques in the United States?
Well, no, but I mean, we have a constitution, and as I pointed out on your show a month ago, which you denied, Saudi Arabia's constitution is the Quran. They do not have a constitution. We do have a constitution. And so if we're going to say that it is okay for Wahhabism to, do whatever it does with no regard to...
Are you going
to
outlaw a sect of Islam in the United States and forbid them from worshiping
Brian,
under our
not
constitution?
The imam in question for the Ground Zero Mosque is Muslim Brotherhood.
Bobby Ghosh.
He is no such thing, and there is no such thing as Saudi-Iranian money. To suggest that the Saudis and the Iranians would somehow get together to fund something together is risible. It is like suggesting that at the height of the Cold War, the United States and Soviet Union would get together to do a project together.
We don't know, right? There could be Saudi and Iranian money going to something, right?
None that I've ever seen,
okay.
and it's entirely implausible.
These are two different
countries that are deeply dislike and distrust each other.
Just on that narrow point, there could be individuals from Saudi Arabia and individuals from Iran. I'm not exactly sure what you meant.
But that doesn't make it Saudi money and Iranian money. That's money from individual donors. And also, that too is still quite unlikely because they represent two different faiths and two different sects in Islam and don't worship in the same mosque. So the idea that they would fund a single religious structure is very unlikely.
Let me get one more caller in. Syed in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Ryan.
Thank you. Real quick, are you having different experiences recently since this issue came up?
Not particularly. I didn't have any different issues, but the problem is that it has been growing, and I started fearing that it's going to grow into something more than just the differences between mosque building and because what's the next step then from the mosque building? Then the Muslims can't even live in the cities because they live their lives according to a certain code or they don't do certain things. They don't eat pork, so they don't need to. They're not allowed to shop in grocery stores. I mean, what's the next step from this? If Muslims are not going to be able to build their worship houses, how are they supposed to worship if there's a big congregation where they're supposed to pray? And one more thing is that I've listened since 9/11, people argue that moderate Muslims don't speak up. And here we have this very moderate Sufi Muslim trying to start a dialogue. And look at what kind of response he's getting. So I really don't know where modern Muslims should go and speak out.
Syed, thank you. And Bobby Gosha, last word. Where does this go from here?
Well, we're waiting to hear from Faisal Rauf. The imam has not spoken out publicly on this. He's, I believe, returning soon from his trip to the Middle East, a trip sponsored by the American State Department. And I believe that when he gets back, we'll hear where he wants to take it. His wife has said on the weekend shows that they are not going to back down against this sort of pressure.
She also did, however, and we'll leave it here, leave open the possibility on ABC yesterday that they may, in fact, at some point decide to move it to bring the community together. So we will see what happens. Bobby Ghosh has the cover story in Time magazine this week. You may have seen the headline on the newsstands asking, is America Islamophobic? Bobby, thank you very much. Brian Lehrer, WNYC, coming up in a minute. As Americans move out of cities, the rest of the world is moving in.